we pray. O Lord, may the meditations on our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Many Christians throughout history have wrestled with that scary prospect that maybe, just maybe, they had done it. They had committed the unforgivable sin. It's frightening to think that you've messed up so bad that God will no longer forgive you. Your sin is too great, and His grace only goes so far. Now, to be sure, there is an unforgivable sin, a sin God will not overlook, a sin that Jesus calls in today's gospel reading an eternal sin. That is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, which is what we find in Mark's gospel. Every Christian should want to know, what does that mean? What exactly does it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? To begin with, it has been said that if you're worried about having committed the unforgivable sin, then you haven't done it. Or let's put it another way. If you are repentant and contrite over your sins, even sins when you have spoken out against God in anger and in rage, if these sins bother you and are driving you to repentance and faith in Christ, then relax, be at peace, take a deep breath. Repenting over your sins, brothers and sisters, and believing in Christ is very different from blaspheming the Holy Spirit. In Mark's gospel, we can see blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and we can see quite clearly why Jesus calls blasphemy against the Holy Spirit an eternal sin. Those are the words of our Lord. Scribes have come from Jerusalem, and when they see Jesus, they accuse him of something. Here again, their accusation. They say, "He is possessed by Beelzebul. By the prince of demons, he cast out the demons." In other words, the scribes believe Jesus is possessed by a demon, and by the power of demons, he's casting out other demons. That, friends, is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When you accuse God Almighty of being demon-possessed and in league with the forces of evil, that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Recall again from your catechisms what the Holy Spirit does. He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the Christian church. It is He who gives faith to the believer, rousing the dead sinner caught up in trespasses and bestowing upon them the gift of faith that believes in Jesus Christ. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. However, friends, when the Holy Spirit is rejected, pushed aside, rejected by the unbeliever, blasphemed by the unbeliever, when that happens, sadly, such a person has no faith. They have no Savior, and consequently, they have no forgiveness of sins. The blasphemer against the Holy Spirit has chosen to live eternity apart from God's eternal, everlasting kingdom. That is the eternal sin, friends. When someone rejects the gift of faith wrought by the Holy Spirit for something else. This argument by Jesus' enemies, it doesn't hold any water. And our Lord Jesus Christ shows them, as He so often does, how foolish they are by asking Him that rhetorical question, "How can Satan cast out Satan? A kingdom divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. How then could a demon cast out another demon? It doesn't make any sense. For a kingdom to survive, it must be united." Now, this principle of unity, the need for a kingdom to be united in order to stand, that applies to the kingdom of Satan as well, friends. His forces are very much united, and they know what they are doing. They know how to attack, pillage, and destroy. Just a quick glance at all the suffering and affliction in this world tells us that Satan and his legions, they are no amateurs when it comes to causing affliction. They certainly do not give us the impression of being weak and divided. No, Satan and his kingdom, they too are united. They will not fall apart by dividing within. His kingdom will not self-destruct. Therefore, friends, in the face of a united enemy, it's imperative that we as the people of God remain united in what we believe, teach, and confess. As you all know, division can be very painful. Whether it occurs in the house of God or in the family, it's never any fun. Now, to be clear, it is one thing to disagree with someone about an issue while maintaining a spirit of peace, love, and compassion with that person. It is possible to disagree about an issue while treating the other person with godly integrity, love, and dignity. However, when true division sets in, that is to say, when heels are dug in, battle lines are etched deep into the sand, hearts harden, and anger causes the blood of a sinner to boil. When that kind of division occurs, the light of the gospel, it's snuffed out. The sheep scatter and lose sight of the one true shepherd. As was mentioned, this does happen even in the house of God. Division occurs when the devil stirs up an issue and drives a Christian to fight and slander the neighbor rather than peacefully seeking God's will and speaking and dealing with the other brother or sister in Christ in a spirit of peace, patience, and compassion. As we all know, division also occurs in the household, within families. For example, take the parent and child relationship. Doesn't take much for a parent and child not to see eye to eye. Rather than communicating in a godly fashion, the next thing you know, doors are slamming, text messages are ceasing, or one person is getting text messages that they do not want to see. Table fellowship goes away, anger comes about. These things, and many others, byproducts of division that the devil loves to stir up. He loves to see houses fall and families fail. He loves to see anger and dissension within the ranks of God's people. He loves to scatter the people of God and see how many he can devour. Friends, today's gospel reading, it should be a warning, an admonition to all of us to take unity very seriously. In fact, it is vital for the Christian. All of us should desire to be one flock, right? Under one shepherd, not a bunch of scattered sheep running this way and that, wondering who to follow and how to behave. No, that is not how our Lord calls us to live. And that leads us to the question then, how do, in a world of sin and suffering and affliction, how do we remain united? How does the Christian do as our Lord's word tells us to do? And that is, this is from Ephesians, maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. How do we do that? Of course, it goes without saying, we pray to our Lord that by His grace and by His power we remain united. But He has also given us His holy scriptures to read, learn, and inwardly digest. Friends, read the Word of God. Feast upon the Word of God your Lord Jesus has given you. Know what His law says, what our Lord commands and desires of you. Never forget your sinfulness brought about by that law, and be quick to repent and receive the forgiveness of sins that is yours in Christ. In addition to feeding upon God's word, we also have here, friends, a holy banquet that we can feast upon. Never forget what you're receiving every time you approach this table. The Lord Jesus, His body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Here is replenishment, spiritual nourishment for your body and soul, which we need weekly, and not just weekly, but every day. Daily, we need that forgiveness, freely yours by faith in Christ, your Lord and your Savior. By feeding upon His Word, feeding upon the sacraments that He has instituted for you, doing these things by God's grace, we can be united and equipped to serve and help others in need. By God's grace, he will keep his people faithful, united in his word and teaching, so that when the evil one assails us, friends, we can be united in what we believe, teach, and confess, holding steadfast to the gift of Jesus Christ by God's grace until he calls us home to be with himself in heaven for eternity. Fantastic news. Freely yours through Jesus Christ, your Savior. Now, does this make life easier here and now? Not necessarily, saints. Even the united house, even the united church centered on God's word and teaching faces difficulty. The devil continues his campaign against the people of God. He is still trying to scatter and devour and win a battle that has already been won by our Savior Jesus Christ. That unholy trinity, yes, there's an unholy trinity, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, it continues to cause us great pain that we would much rather do without. In the Christian life, there continues to be affliction, suffering, persecution, tribulation, disease, death. These things continue to happen in a world still reeling from the effects of sin. And sometimes, friend, do not be surprised when the pain becomes so great, you find yourself asking the question, am I in the hands of my Lord and Savior? Or am I really in the house and clutches of the evil one? Because right now, it's so bad, I can't tell the difference. People of God, the answer to that question is this. You are not Satan's plunder. You are not his possession. You are not his spoil. You do not belong to him. You belong to your great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Satan, the strong man, is strong. Christ is stronger. Temptation, sin is strong. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, he is stronger. And he tells us this. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Friends, people of God, the house of Satan has been plundered by Jesus Christ. The strong man Satan has been bound by Jesus Christ, and his possessions belong to the Lord. A world in bondage to decay, corrupted by sin, has been ripped away from the grasp of evil. Creation, all of it, you, me, the entire world has been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, cross and blood. There is no longer just darkness in the world. There is a light that outshines the darkness, a light that is the way, the truth, and the life. The strong man, Satan, he is bound. He is put in chains. The creation he tried to hijack, we see it happening in Genesis 3. Already there he is, deceiving man and woman into temptation. The creation he tried to take, it has been ripped away from him, out of his grasp by the Son of God. At the incarnation, Jesus Christ infiltrates this world, and by his cross and by his shed blood, he takes back all of it what Satan has claimed for himself. He has plundered the house of Satan, and Satan's possessions, all of them now belong to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The spoils belong to God. You belong to God. The baptized believer in Jesus Christ has been redeemed, purchased from the clutches of the evil one. And you can rest assured that on account of Jesus' words, he tells us, no one can snatch his sheep out of his hands. Nothing separates you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. These promises don't suddenly go away when you are suffering. The word of God does not suddenly become null and void when you are afflicted. No, the promises stand. When you are suffering, God's promises stand. You belong to him. You are in his hands. You are his child. You are in his house through your Savior, Jesus Christ, and by his grace you will be so forevermore. A fitting way to end this is hearing once again what St. Paul says in the epistle reading, which we heard from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember now, the apostle, he himself was no stranger to suffering. And he writes to Christians when he says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent which is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Thus says the Lord." This promise is for you, friends. Don't lose heart. Let us pray that God continues to keep his people united, firm in the faith and in his teaching. Continue to read and digest the holy scriptures that God has given you for your learning and for your faithfulness. Continue to come up here boldly and receive what our Lord Jesus gives you, nourishment that is his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And finally, know this, when you find yourself suffering in this world, remember what the scriptures say. This is a momentary affliction. We suffer only but for a little while. That is our Lord's word to you. These promises are for you. When you are suffering, when you are in pain, no, it is only preparing you for what your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has already achieved for you. Life, salvation, the forgiveness of sins here and now, an eternal weight of glory that really is beyond all comparison. May the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard your hearts and minds until he comes again. Amen. Let's rise and sing the offertory.